This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 60 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show today is big-time gadget girl, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
How you doing, Mike? How's your training going?
Very well. It's my first double-digit weekend in almost a year. The knee is doing well. I am getting ready to I've been registering for races. I'm ready to go.
That's great. Well, as many people listening know, you and I both grew up in the Boston area, and I grew up 10 miles outside of Boston. You grew up really pretty much in Boston, so this past week has been pretty significant for us. And so my shout out today is for all the runners and spectators of the marathon. I was at a local 5K on Tuesday night, and the person there asked people who had run the race to raise their hand. About 20 did. And then he asked people who had ever run the marathon to raise their hand. And then he asked everybody who had spectated. And by the end, of course, all 500 people had their hands up. So it's been quite an emotional week for everybody. And I wanted to give a shout out to all the people who have, you know, had to go through the stress that we've had to go through this week, and encourage our listeners to give to onefund.org to help support victims of the tragedy at the marathon. And also a special shout out to one of our friends, Jameson Reynolds, who is a big Yankee fan, but for us, he posted on Facebook, he wore a Red Sox shirt. So that's my shout out for today. It's a long one, but I think an important one.
I could not have chosen a better shout out. And let's hope everybody heals, continues to heal in Boston. So we have a very special guest for our show tonight, and this special guest was a member of the 1972 United States Olympic team. And in 1973, he actually broke the United States 10-mile record with a time of 47:49. Among his race victories are the Peachtree Road Race, the Honolulu Marathon, the Atlanta Marathon, and he has been a top place finisher in so many other prominent U.S. races, including, as Michelle mentioned just a few minutes ago, the Boston Marathon. He has produced a number of publications, some of which with his lovely wife, Barbara. Now, I could go on for another hour regarding his accomplishments, but most importantly, he is the official training consultant for Run Disney and is the founder of the Galloway Marathon Training Program. He's got a great site called Run Injury Free with Jeff Galloway. And we are pleased and honored to welcome Jeff to the Mickey Miles Podcast. Jeff, welcome, and thank you for taking the time out of your incredibly, incredibly busy schedule to visit with us today.
Mike, I'm honored. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, Jeff, I wanted to say that as somebody who runs a lot of Disney races, it is sort of a badge of honor among our Disney running friends to stop at the booth where you're at the Run Disney booth and get their picture taken with you. And also, I want to say, too, as somebody who is a teacher, I notice that you really take your time with people and really listen to the questions that they have, and people just say wonderful things about you. So I'm very, very happy that you're here. So my first question for you is, I met you at one of the expos, and when I was there, I told you that I grew up in Melrose, Massachusetts, and when I grew up in the 70s and 80s, I used to see a runner, we used to see a runner all the time around my house, this man who's the only one who ran, his name is Bill Rogers, and you told me then when we met that you were college friends with him. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so I was wondering, when I was growing up, nobody ran. I mean, we just saw this man, we're like, what is he doing? He's training for the Boston Marathon. Do you think that running has shifted from elite runners to the place where it is now, where you go to Disney races and you see all shapes and sizes and ages? Do you think it's changed over the past few years?
Well, certainly. And the Boston Marathon, I wrote an article for Runner's World back in the early 80s, The History of Running in the United States. And I credited Boston for being the inspiration for recreational running, but also for marathoning and road running. That is really where our sport has really grown. The storyline is that in the first Olympics, there was an event added to the ancient schedule called the marathon, and it was run on the course that Pheidippides had run from Marathon to Athens. And after this, the various groups around the world talked about taking this concept back. The New York AC actually conducted the very first marathon race outside of Greece, and it was done in the fall after the Spring Olympics in 1896. Boston, the BAA, decided they wanted to hold one too, and they waited until the following spring on Patriots Day to hold their event. And it has been run every single year since. So that whole tradition became so successful that other cities in New England first wanted to have their own version of Boston. So there were a number of races of various distances that came on and became quite prominent in their own area and induced people to start training. Other parts of the United States slowly picked this up, but I can tell you from having studied the numbers that back in until 1964, the number of people that entered the Boston Marathon and other key races that had been run for a long time was up and down like the stock market. One year it might be 120, and the next year it might be 20 to 30 people, literally.
Wow.
It wasn't until 64 that you saw the growth in Boston and in other events occur, and I was part of that. I actually started running in 1958, and I'll tell you, back in 1958, there were hardly any people above college age that ran. In the city of Atlanta, there were probably about five people total. But from the mid-60s, you started to see a few people come in, and then more and more, there was a first what was called a running boom that occurred in the late 70s, early 80s. It was mostly men, and it was very competitive. And then the women started coming in the mid-80s, and that changed running forever, and it in a very good way, in that the women were more interested in the empowerment that running gave you and in getting their family members involved. And it has really changed our sport in a wonderful way.
So you must be very excited when you get to these Run Disney events and see the numbers of people running.
Well, I've been to over 1,000 events, and I've got to tell you that Disney does it better than anyone else. And one of the reasons is, having worked with them for several years, for over 20 years now, I have found that they want to keep nitpicking to make it better. I've never seen any organization that does multiple events that does this to that degree, and they do a wonderful job with it, and as a result, it does get better. People want to come, and they tell their friends, and that's why they're so successful. And the other reason is they're fun. Disney has made running fun, and costumes and all types of venues that you go through, characters on the course, and just lots of things for the whole weekend, for the whole family.
Oh, we would agree with that. Mike?
You know, Jeff, you're one of the architects that has made this fun, because you have introduced what everybody affectionately calls the Galloway method. And it's basically a run, walk, run approach to half marathons. I know that it has helped Michelle and myself. About a year and a half ago, we did back to back half marathons on a weekend. And I finished the second one faster than the first one the very next day. And it was just, you know, a great way to run without hurting ourselves. And so I'd love to get into virtual training later in the show. But what I'd like you to tell us a bit now is how you arrived at this method of training. And when you thought about it, what goals did you see and benefits did you see that this method would give runners when they actually used it?
After the Olympics, I taught school for a year. My father was a teacher and then founded an innovative school in Atlanta. And it was my desire at one time to join that school and to help my father. But teaching just wasn't right for me, so I decided to open a store. And out of the store, I had a number of requests to set up training programs for people. And one of them was from a local college. So I agreed to conduct and teach a beginning running class. And when I convened the class, there were 22 people there, and none of them had been doing any running at all for at least 5 years. Well, I didn't want them to get injured. I wanted them to have a good experience. So I incorporated walking primarily in the beginning to allow the body to adapt. And we very quickly divided up into three groups. One group was composed of what they call basket case physical specimens. I mean, these were people who had never done any regular activity physically for their whole lives. Then there was a more advanced group of young guys, and these fellows had been doing other sports. They were in great shape, and they progressed quite quickly, but I still had them take some walk breaks because they were had a tendency to overdo it. And then there was a middle group. At the end of the 10-week class, every single one of them finished either a 5 or a 10K, and there were no injuries. What I was most impressed with was no injuries. I'd never been with a group of runners of 20 or more in which after 10 weeks there were no injuries at all. And I knew intuitively and for a fact that it was the walk breaks that kept them from getting injured. From that point on, I started producing groups out of my Pheidippides running store in Atlanta that would have walk breaks built into it. As the years went by, we have fine-tuned this into the system that it is now, but we've been conducting these programs one way or another for over 40 years now, and we've had more than 300,000 success stories reported in to us. So this is not a theory. It really works. The surprising thing is that former nonstop runners in marathons, for example, when they have the right run-walk-run ratio, they tend to improve an average of 13 minutes or more. It's phenomenal. It works across the board.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't realize that it's been around for 40 years.
Yes. And, you know, the numbers back in the 70s were not that large because people were just starting to come into running. But today, several experts have told me that somewhere between 25 and 50% of the new runners today are using Run, Walk, Run in some format.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I'm sure that technology has added to your training programs. I know that you do some virtual training. A good friend of ours, Amanda North, speaks very highly of your virtual training program. So we wanted to ask you a little bit about if somebody was going to sign up for one of your virtual training programs, what would they expect? What does the program entail?
Well, on our website, jeffgalloway.com or runinjuryfree.com, you can go either way there. We have we call it e-coaching. So it's email coaching, and we call it e-coaching. But anyway, basically, it's designed to give people a program first. I will set up a program based on the date of their goals, or if they don't have a specific goal, they just want to stay injury-free, I'll set up a program to help them do that. I ask them a number of questions so that I can give them a program that's designed for what they're currently capable of doing or is designed to avoid problems that they have currently been having, and then project ahead to the goal date that they want to accomplish. Then, each week, it is the responsibility of my e-coach client to check in with me so that I can check up on them to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then they are also available. I'm available to answer any questions and to solve problems and If they start to get aches and pains, I'll give them my suggestions based on one runner to another. And as a result, we have a very, very, very low injury rate and a very high success rate in completing the goal of their choice, as well as pushing the barriers back. A lot of folks get off the couch using this program and then cross the finish line of the marathon 6 to 9 months later, and it changes their lives. It's a wonderful experience.
Well, that's amazing. One of the things Amanda said to me is that Jeff really does it. I talked to him at the expo, and he knew who I was. So she said that you really, you know, it was you who did the coaching. It wasn't an assistant, and she was very impressed by that. And I know that she just did a PR for a half marathon last week. So even though the e-coaching has ended, she's still using it, and she just PR'd. So she speaks very, very highly of it.
Well, thanks for that update, and I want you to congratulate Amanda, and I will also. But yes, I do all of it myself. I love it. It really brings me a joy to establish this connection with people, and you really get to know them, a lot of them as friends, just because of the things that go on during the six-month term.
So you weren't a teacher with your father, but you ended up being a teacher in a way.
Yes. In fact, I actually did teach for half a year at the Galloway School. I was the PE leader, and it was the first year the school was in operation. I've served over the years now in a number of volunteer capacities, currently as a member of the Board of Trustees, but it's a fabulous place, and I am proud to have had some time to work there.
But it sounds like you're teaching all of these people who you're e-coaching too.
What I learned in the classroom, and it wasn't at the Galloway School, it was a different school, but what I learned is that I really wanted to expand my horizons of teaching so that I could teach a wider range of people, and I wanted to teach running and lifestyle habits of good nutrition, mental preparation and motivation, avoiding injuries, and all of the above, and it just... It's a wonderful thing. It's blossomed into wonderful retreats that we do at Lake Tahoe and on the panhandle of Florida on the beach, and a lot of just wonderful people that we are introduced to through these various programs.
Yes, and you have touched over 200,000 satisfied students, Jeff, and you should be commended for that. So on behalf of all of them, thank you. And what we'll do is we'll be sure to list your website in our show notes, because there may be people out there who need your help, and we want to make sure that they can get to you and get this experience that you are giving everyone. And you know, regarding that, you also help a number of Run Disney participants, because you are the official training consultant for Run Disney. So what I wanted to ask you is, when you think of yourself as the official training consultant for a brand like Run Disney, how do you see your role and how do you see your responsibility to that brand?
You're right. I do a number of different things in my work life as well as my volunteer life, but there is a single thread that weaves through every single one of these projects, and it is to help people improve the quality of their life. And secondarily, right behind that, is to improve their health. And there are a number of tools that I will give them to do this. But the Run Disney series is currently the number one way that I'm able to facilitate this, because of the numbers of people that are involved in Run Disney and the success stories that I hear by the volumes. So my role then is to set up training that can lead people to the goals, whichever race it is, injury free. And those who follow the program, extremely low percentage of injury. It's just almost nothing. And then with the events, there's an additional opportunity to solve problems, to help people who maybe didn't do the training that they really should have, but still want to do the event. And we have a high success rate there, too. What I've found is that there is a solution to practically any problem. And when runners will back off, insert the strategic walk breaks as they should, and then incorporate a number of other things that I've come up with, and eating and fluid consumption and pacing and so forth, plus the mental training tips that we have, as I developed in my mental training book, then they can have a satisfying experience, an empowering experience, and bring others into our wonderful sport.
That's great. So kind of to go along with that, you've talked about all the success stories that you've had. Can you recall some of your fondest moments since you've been associated with Run Disney?
Well, there are a continuing stream of those. I heard recently from a guy who had lost over 75 pounds, and he used one of the Run Disney races as his goal to do that. I've probably heard from 400 or 500 women who have lost significant weight, anywhere from 40 pounds to 175 pounds, believe it or not.
Wow.
And the Run Disney series was the key ingredient as the goal, as the date on the calendar. And the other thing that Run Disney races do is they provide a way to reward the family for putting up with the mom or dad who's training all these months. We're going to go to Disney World or Disneyland. And it's a wonderful time to bring the family together to a really safe and wonderful place to have fun. And also to incorporate fitness during the weekend. So many kids, former kids, have reported to me over the last 10 years who started in fitness because they went with their parents to one of the races at Disney World and then Disneyland. And so it changes people's lives, including kids.
When we talk about Run Disney events, Jeff, we talk about all the different distances and specialty races in Disneyland and in Disney World. And most recently, Run Disney announced a very special, very, very special race combination coming in January, and they're calling it the Dopey, where participants would run in a series of 4 days in a row, a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a full marathon. So my question to you is, when you first found out or heard about this special combination called the Dopey Challenge, what were you thinking?
Well, this is very interesting, because my first thought was they were legitimizing what grassroots had already identified with.
Right, the Dopey. Words,
yeah. Yeah, the Goofy was institutionalized by Disney with a special medal, as well as the other two, by running the half marathon on Saturday and then the marathon on Sunday. Now, grassroots, people were running the 5K on the weekend, and they were calling it the Dopey. That was what they called it. And so Disney has now legitimized this goal and has added an additional event, the 10K. So the response has been overwhelming. Everywhere I go, several people, and usually a dozen or more, will come up and say, when are the training programs going to be up? They will be up soon. And then they'll say,
you took away my question then.
Yes. I've already designed them. I have sent them to them. They are formatting them, and they will get them up quite soon. But the other thought that I had was the human body is capable of doing some amazing things, and it's certainly capable of doing events 4 days in a row, particularly if you train for this. And that's what our whole purpose is with Run Disney, to provide the training programs that can gradually introduce this wonderful thing of endurance to the human body so that it can adapt.
That's great. So can you let us know one more time, if people want to sign up for your virtual training program, they go to jeffgalloway.com?
That is correct. We've already got several dopey contestants who have signed up for it,
I
too.
I think that you're going to be getting an email from Michelle Scribner-McLean very soon about that.
I will look forward to that. And, you know, the community of runners is one of that is built upon respect. And the whole community of people who are training for these Disney events know that it's not going to be easy. They're going to have to put out something, but it builds discipline, it builds focus, and it builds the appreciation for hard work paying off. And this is relayed to other family members and friends. It's a wonderful series of events.
Jeff, we want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. And again, I want to one more time mention your website. It's called Run Injury Free with Jeff Galloway. You can find out about all kinds of things, training, resources, nutrition, all about the publications that Jeff and his wife Barbara have put together. It's at www.jeffgalloway.com. And Jeff, we'd love to welcome you back. We want you to spend some time with us and talk more about this run, walk, run method. I know it's been working for me, and we also want to delve deeply into what's going to happen in January. So would you be willing to come back and talk with Michelle and myself?
I would love to do that, so count on it.
Thank you.
Michelle?
Okay, I just want to say thank you, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Sounds great, Michelle and Mike.
Thank you, Jeff. So on behalf of Jeff Galloway and Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.